America weekend.
When you reach that level of success, it's hard to stay there. So I grabbed my girlfriend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christine Astolfo.
Our next guest is pure comedy royalty. He is the first comedian to ever sell out Madison Square Garden in New York two nights in a row. That's almost 40,000 people in two nights. He can currently be seen in his new Showtime series titled Dice. It is great to say hello to Andrew Dice Clay. Dice, welcome
to
the show.
How's it going?
Hey.
Good to be on the show. How's it going there?
This is great. This is terrific. Now, the new Showtime series Dice, to me, this is like catching up with an old friend. I mean, we get to see the Dice character like in a whole different way. This is so cool on so many different levels.
Well, that's what I love about the show because, you know, when I perform live, which, you know, obviously we're promoting the tour, but when I perform live, that's the only side of me people get to see. But, you know, when I'm on the TV show, we could show all his faults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Dice on stage has never really been that self-deprecating.
No.
You know, but on the show, it's so much fun to show how I mess up all the time. Because in reality, I really do. You know?
Okay.
And that's the fun, you know, it's showing people you're human. That's how I'll put it.
You're just trying to get by in life.
Yeah, and it's very surreal, the show, because, you know, it's a hybrid of my life and things that have sort of happened in my life. And, you know, my own boys and their band, Still Rebel, are on the show with me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I'm doing scenes with them, you know, it's crazy because it's like we've done this at home, you know, because, you know, I'm really close with my boys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have this very open relationship. And, you know, right now I they're getting their album ready, Valley Days, the first album to come out. And it's like a good time for all of us because all the careers are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting ready to tour with Tracy Guns from, you know, who was with Guns N' Roses for a while, and then he did L.A. Guns, and he's taking them on tour, so it's an exciting time in the household because, you know, they're young guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're 21 and 25. They have a power trio like it's 1974 with all original. No, but it's all original. It's
right.
New.
That's good.
Classic rock.
I wish my family pushed this show the way you're pushing everything. This
I
is
know,
terrific,
right?
You know?
Crazy.
Because I get, you know, I was so down about 7-8 years ago,
yeah.
You know, career-wise, and a big part of that had to do with, you know, I sort of self-exiled myself from a career to raise my sons when I went through divorce, you know, and that was way more important than career moves to me.
Of course.
So, and because of that, they're focused and they know what they want to do, and they're just thrilling audiences around the country now.
What was it like to assume this character again, outside of, you know, a comedy set, kind of more like a complete situation type
deal? You know what's fun about it? I get to act out, you know, because it is a scripted show. So now I have to act as Dice through entire episodes. You know, Natasha Leggero, who does a great job as my girlfriend, you know, like the only answer I ever have for her when she's angry at me is, don't you understand I'm from Brooklyn?
I
like,
love that.
Like, but that's the same answer I would give my wife. You know,
right.
If they look at you and go, I know where you're from, but what does that have to do with what we're talking about? You know, but that's my answer. I'm from Brooklyn.
Because it's the Brooklyn attitude.
Well, and Brooklyn is, you know, to grow up in Brooklyn is, you know, the best.
It sure is. I mean, I grew up in Brooklyn. I know.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I grew up in Bensonhurst. I mean, you know, like you go, you can transplant anywhere, but you'll always be from Brooklyn.
Yeah, so you understand what
I mean. Of course
I
do.
Like, if you were my girlfriend, I go, do you understand I'm from Brooklyn? You go, you know what? I get it.
I do understand.
You know what? I get it every day here on the show. It's like, anything goes wrong, don't you understand I'm from Brooklyn? I know exactly what you're talking
so
about.
Funny.
I get a kick. I was watching the first episode, and the actor who plays your friend Milkshake, I'm thinking, where do I know that guy from? Then I see it's Kevin Corrigan, and I realize that's Henry Hill's brother in the wheelchair stirring the sauce as he's being chased by the helicopters in Goodfellas. So it's like you see certain people, and you place a face.
He's just a great, great method actor. We've become great friends, obviously, doing the show. But he's done, like, The Departed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's done, like, heavy stuff. One of my favorites was Buffalo 66 that he did with Vincent Gallo.
That is really good. I did see that. That is excellent, yes.
Yeah. when he's going, they call me Rocky now.
Yeah.
And Vincent Gallo's like, all right, Rocky, just do this for me, you know.
One of the things I really like about the show is, all right, when I'm sitting back at the Garden back in the day watching you do the Dice character and do your comedy, and I'm seeing the personality there, but here's that personality. It's updated, but now it's the personality in situations that everybody, especially guys my age, your age, can understand. And it's just like it's the next natural thing for you to do with this character.
Well, the showrunner, Scott Armstrong, really got my personality, and they did a lot of research on me and read a lot of stories of things I've been through, and that's how the scripts happen, you know? So
yeah.
he really captured my voice. That's what they call it.
When you were at the height of doing stand-up, you know, you dealt with backlash from media and from certain groups. Do you feel that you were just, like, ahead of your time with all of this and people just didn't get it back then?
You know what? I love my history of all of that because, you know, my plan when I started out, it was really to become an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And all I did was use a comedy stage instead of going to acting school. I figured, get on a stage and just work on it every night. Develop your own method. And obviously the Dice thing went through the roof and it caused mania in the country. And the reason I even went that way is because when I used to watch comics when I started out in the late 70s, you know, they were good, but, you know, I grew up different. I didn't see a lot of performance style. You know, I didn't think they understood about really performing for a crowd. They had material, but there was nothing that visual going on. And I grew up as a drummer, as a singer, in bands. You know, so I was always more into the rock and roll and jazz thing. So, you know, I studied, you know, personalities like Elvis Presley. You know, I studied in film people like everybody from James Dean to Brando to when I was a teenager with, you know, like when John Travolta did movies like Fever.
Right.
You know, that kind of image.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, Henry Winkler is the Fonz. And I remember telling my mother, I go, the thing about that image, it's never been done as a stand-up comedian. And I wanted to create, like, the ultimate hero comic for people, you know, that wasn't self-deprecating, that does have confidence, you know, with the leather jacket. You know, my leather jackets was my takeoff of, like what Elvis would do with the jumpsuits, like complete image.
Right.
And back then it scared the media because I was doing about 80,000 people a week in concert.
Yeah.
You know, and that was scary to the media because, you know, the people were just cheering me on and the media took it like it's some kind of movement. You know, and to this day I say I wasn't running for office. You know, I'm a comedian. I'm a bozo. You know, with a leather jacket on. It's funny.
And people went to see you because they got what you were doing. They understood it, and they fed upon it.
They understood it, but the media didn't, and that's what the backlash was. But now, you know, it's almost like I became the first to ever do those kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, you brought up Madison Square Garden, which is phenomenal. And I'll probably go back to the Garden again now, but I did over 300 arenas back then, you know, including the arena, you know, everywhere, wherever you would name.
Right.
You know, I did 5 years of arena shows, and it was like unreal to know that you're the first, just like Elvis when he'd go on TV and shake his hip, you know, he was the first.
You were Elvis on the Ed Sullivan Show in 55 when you're selling out basketball arenas all over the country. And that's at a time when a lot of comics who are being held up to this high esteem are, you know, playing in front of 200 people at Chuckles on Route 17, and you're filling up arenas with 20,000 people.
And you want to know something about Chuckles? That's where my agent, Dennis Offer, signed me.
Really?
Really?
In the kitchen, in between doing three shows, he saw me. He was Rodney Dangerfield's agent.
No kidding.
Oh, okay.
And he was there the night I did the Rodney Dangerfield Young Comedian special. And the minute I came off stage, this guy was on me going, you're going to be the biggest thing in the world. So he was smart. He came with papers, and I signed with him, and I've been with him ever since.
And it's funny you said that, because you just rang a bell. When you brought up Dangerfield, I can remember watching you back then, and I'm thinking, this guy reminds me so much of Dangerfield, but it's a modern version, badass version of Rodney Dangerfield talking about things that regular guys talk about.
Well, you know, at the beginning, I didn't see it, because, number one, I thought Rodney was one of the greatest just ever. You know, whenever I'd be at Dangerfield's as a young, struggling comic, and all of a sudden, he'd come through the door with the long coat, hand the coat to the other owner, and he'd jump on stage and just crush it for 10 minutes and leave. But so I didn't see the comparison at first, but through the years I have, because of the cadence of what I do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and the cadence of what Rodney did.
Dice, stay with us. We're coming up on a network break. More with Andrew Dice Clay coming up, along with Christina Staffo. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This all-star first baseman won the 1980 National League batting title. He's best remembered for the error he made in the 1986 World Series, but few are aware of the comments he made earlier that day.
The nightmares are that you're going to let the winning run score on a ground ball through your legs. So, you know, those things happen.
Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner.
So where is Bill Buckner now? Bill retired in 1990 and moved to Idaho, where he invested in real estate, even naming one of his housing subdivisions Fenway Park. In 2011, Bill managed in the Canadian American League, and he signed on as the hitting instructor for the Boise Hawks in the Class A Northwestern League in 2012. And when it comes to his famous error, Bill is looking to put it all behind him.
Hopefully it's Bill Buckner in the 86 World Series, but he was a pretty good player. Leave it at that.
Bill Buckner, pretty good player. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Think Green. Harrison with you. The results of the first ever national random sample survey of bankruptcy filers conducted by researchers at Cambridge Hospital and Harvard Medical School, Harvard Law School, and Ohio University show 60% of all bankruptcies in the United States are driven by medical bills. Since 2007, the share of bankruptcies from medical bills has continued to increase. Get this. Bankruptcies were actually designated as medical based on the stated reasons a person had for filing. And those with health insurance were underinsured, leaving them responsible for thousands in medical bills they simply couldn't pay. Nationally, about a fourth of all companies cancel insurance right away when an employee has a major illness, and the other 25% cancel insurance within a year, according to Natural News. And losing a job due to recession also can mean losing health insurance coverage.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.